Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hate saying ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't cover the more complex spectrum of gender that we are experiencing today. And I am so grateful to live in a world where we can finally be accepting and inclusive of everybody. Today is kind of crazy because it's an eclipse tomorrow. Okay, you're probably hearing this like a week late, right? And we're about to vote. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm super anxious because an eclipse and voting and all the crazy politics that are happening, like it's got everybody on edge. So just wanted to welcome you back to your favorite podcast, which is House of Herbie, your safe space for self-discovery, bad bitchery. I, of course, am Queen Herbie. My co-host Jedi Nick is here. And this week we're doing an episode of Q&A. We're doing
Q&A episode.
A question and answer episode because all of you wonderful listeners have sent us really amazing questions and we want to answer them. We may not get to all of them today, but if we like this, if y'all vibe with this, we can keep doing it in future episodes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right.
How are you feeling today, Jedi?
I'm feeling a little strange. I feel a little weird.
This is a healthy exercise, by the way. What's tingling?
I'm sorry. Your what hurts?
Okay.
No, I mean, I feel pretty good. I
sent you to go get me some pasta today.
Yeah.
I was hungry.
I didn't check, but yes. It was a fucking downpour outside.
I think
10 minutes that I happen to be outside.
Yes. I feel like when I was standing outside on the patio earlier and I said, oh my goodness, let me call Nick and just tell him, let's get our favorite pasta for lunch. So we did it.
Last time we always do Postmates or whatever the delivery thing is. And they're always like, oh, well, don't do that. We'll give you 20% off because we end up actually getting more.
It's not that far away.
It's just two blocks, but yep. It's like, anyway, whatever.
You stepped outside and it downpoured and then I felt really bad.
So
you got really
wet.
And I
was not prepared for the downpour.
Have you ever been caught in the rain?
Cold and like 58 degrees.
Yeah, not ideal.
Aw shit moment for the day, I'll fucking take the downpour.
It's eclipse.
In the 58 degree weather.
It's eclipse energy for sure. Yeah. I would love to know in the comments if y'all have felt this. I know because even when this episode's out, you might still have the experience of the repercussions of this eclipse.
So tell me about the eclipse. What does that mean exactly?
So this eclipse cycle is actually ending a cycle that began in like 2021. So it's been a long time coming. I'd say like November 2021, something started happening and it was sort of like the beginning of the end. And it's been a very long tail thing. So what I'd like to do is go back. I'm going to check my journal tonight from last November and see what I was dealing with, because this is sort of like the end of that. It's the end of a cycle and you have to fully release whatever that was and allow the new thing to come in. And it's a very uncertain time. It's very uncomfortable for some people.
Okay. So it's like an ending of a chapter.
It is. Okay. It's a big ending.
I'll take that.
And we've got a bunch of other planets like Saturn and Uranus and a bunch of people, like they're just fucking with each other not in a good way. So it's like unexpected, sudden, a little bit intense things more than usual. So that's why everybody's nervous.
There was, I don't know if it was a YouTube video or like a NASA post. It was like either a NASA Instagram post or a YouTube video or something. And they were talking about the size of Uranus.
Mm-mm.
And what Earth sizes comparison to, so how much, you know, what could fit in Uranus.
Okay.
And it was, I immediately just went to the comments and the comments were unbelievable. Everything was just like me, an adult. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like all these things and just like.
See, this is really what astrology funny. Could be. We could just laugh about it.
And it could be full of Uranus.
I think what I see. Thank you. So this is why Jedi Nick is here as a fabulous co-host of this podcast, because I get so wrapped up in it. I have not paid attention to astrology this closely ever. This is the first year that
you got to pay attention to Uranus.
You really do.
You
That's
really do, people.
What's more important?
Come on.
If we zoom out, right?
Yep.
The planets, the movement of the planets or Uranus?
Or Uranus.
Yeah.
Uranus is part of the movement of your planets.
That's the only thing that's personally, physically affecting you right now.
Is Uranus.
It is.
Not mine. Uranus.
Yes. So don't get caught in the rain getting pasta. We're going to answer some questions.
Uranus is about to move.
Can we have our first question? Today, Alex is so kind to read us some questions.
And let's get some fucking questions.
We love y'all. Thank you for tuning in. Let's see what we got.
We'll see what they are first. They might suck.
All right, let's get started with an easy one.
I'll give you an A.
Maybe.
I'll give you an A. S me a Q.
You got it. What is a day in the life of Queen Herbie and Jedi Nick like?
Whoa, a day in the life?
Ooh, what's a day in the life?
Walk us through. Okay, well, we get up at 6:45 a.m.
So 6:45. We
get up pretty early.
Yep, and then we do our 20s, the Wim Hof thing, the breathing
shit, exercise,
which takes like 15 to 17 minutes or something.
Yep,
and then we do journaling.
Yep.
And then after that, we learn. So I put on Audible and cook breakfast for us.
Yes.
And you make a coffee and you have a coffee and a water.
Yes. And I read books about PTSD. I read books about dream interpretation. Like I'm learning something new every day. I have like 8 different books with different bookmarks.
The idea of this, we started doing this seriously probably, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And the idea is you just kind of like either, even if you have nothing happen in the day, you're still, your day is anchored off of, you know, you're going to be learning something for 20 minutes.
You're going to be, exactly. Yep.
Just like a wonderful progression to like compound. Then we walk the dogs.
Yep.
And then we come back and then we kind of just like start. Usually you'll call your manager, Tunch, Jeff. Yep.
I called Tunch and Jeff.
Yep.
They're the same person. And we talk about what's happening and what the strategy is for the week and any outstanding like deals or things that we're working on.
Like a designer today?
Contracts and partnerships.
Designing things.
We do that. And it's always a very positive call. We call it mastermind because sometimes we just bring ideas to the table. Crazy ideas.
Yeah, we try to have it just be like an open... Exactly.
Yep. You, Nick, assists me in figuring out what I'm posting on social media. So we try to...
We do that before the dog walk usually.
Yep. We try to not spend too much time on it. No. We just like...
It's like a frantic... Not a frantic, but it's like a caffeinated 10 minutes of just like, oh, what do we have? Jesus.
What's funny?
Okay,
let's do it.
Okay. Well, you change that. All right. Post.
And answer comments for like 10 minutes and then put it down.
Yeah.
So then after that whole morning routine is when we actually split up. Like I'll go to the office. Sometimes you'll stay at the house and work because the studio setup is at the house.
I go to the gym usually at this point three times a week.
You work out. I used to work out. I need to work out.
I work out.
This is really revealing how much I'm slacking in my self-care. I go through
She's
waves,
like,
y'all.
Then I sit by myself and watch Friends for 6 hours.
I wish.
Now it's 4 o'clock. Time for a martini.
I've really been learning so much new shit. And often most of my day time hours is spent like writing lyrics or studying something or designing something.
Yeah.
So I'll be in my Photoshop and I'll be doing, you know, merch design or... concepts. Like today I was actually going through all of my notebooks. I have a lot of I do a lot of like drawing and doodles and writing ideas.
That could be an interesting piece of content if we need content later, by the way.
For sure. Thank you. See, he's always thinking. If we think of ideas for content, we'll take a post-it and we'll add it to the stack so that we never run out of ideas. So it's
we do this. Yeah, we have a whole running list of ideas for either song concepts or posts or anything. And just write them out. And as soon as you're thinking of them, because what always happens is we're like, oh, I'll remember that.
Yeah.
But you don't.
You don't. You got to write it down.
You got to write it down.
Every time he's like, I have a great idea, babe. I'm like, did you write it down, babe? So, because it's too much.
Don't yell at me. Put it in your fucking phone.
Babe.
Are you an adult?
It's a lot.
Did you check Uranus today? Yes, you did. Let's do this. So then we kind of just
don't eat lunch, really.
Nah.
Ooh.
Oh,
excuse me. That was what is this called?
A magnet.
Coaster. My martini stuck to the coaster, which is a crystal geode.
My martini stuck to the coaster.
Okay. We don't eat lunch. We did cachava shakes for a while.
Yeah, we did cachava shakes.
We are not sponsored.
What's the ad goes? It's like...
Cachava.
Try cachava.
I was like, I will try it. It was good. It was good. I was like, this is it. This is going to be our new lunch. Right. So we'll do like protein vitamin shakes and a bagel usually.
Usually we'll split like a gluten-free bagel, have like a little side salad.
We do a light lunch. We don't go crazy.
And an apple, or usually I'll have like an apple or something.
Yeah, it's a nice break to have a snack while you're working on creative shit.
So then we have, let's see, then the afternoon times.
Usually the afternoon is when we actually create music.
Yeah.
So if not every day, but we would like to get there to where we're making music every
That's
day.
When we come back together.
We hit like 2 to 4 hours of hard like recording and ideas and all that.
And we've kind of developed a thing because it's us. And we can kind of work whatever flow we want. Some people don't have too many restraints around this, and I totally get that. But We don't like to work for more than like an hour on anything.
We actually have a little sand dial that will turn. It's almost an hour or like a tiny bit an hour.
It's like an hour seven or something. It's like a buck seven.
It was an Amazon special. They didn't really get it right. Okay. It's supposed to be an hour.
It's not. Yeah. Definitely over, but close.
But I'll flip the sand dial over and we'll work on one idea. And then when it's out, we stop, kind of strict.
Go to something else. Yeah. Unless we're really humming or in the middle of something.
And what happens is after like a week or two, you've got like a whole project done. It's great. Yeah,
exactly. You work on just two or three a day and just actually an hour of focused work.
Then we almost always Postmates dinner. Like we almost always get dinner out. This used to really bother me because I'm from Nebraska and we don't do that. Okay. We prepare our own meals.
Yeah.
But we've just decided that that is a priority for us as creative people. We save money in a lot of other areas and we work really hard. So we reward ourselves at the end of a day like that with something delicious and local.
Mm-hmm. And then we chill at night. I usually watch shows. I watch movies. I watch shows. I do this shit. You go off in the corner. We go on opposite ends of the loft.
We're off at, yes. Alex is like hiding. He's like,
I'm like, don't get back there.
I'm
get
like
back
a little, I'm like a little chipmunk in the corner with my pile of nuts.
Here's your bag of nuts. Get back over there. Keep it on the newspaper.
And I actually go back to reading and learning, and I'll pull up YouTube. I love YouTube. Me and YouTube are besties.
You just sit and learn.
I learn.
You sit at night and you just fucking, it's like getting, it's like when they plug people into the Matrix.
Yes, that's me. That's me.
And they just, I know Kung Fu. It's the same thing. You just sit there and just like learn shit. I've never seen somebody, my dad does this a little.
There you go.
But I've never seen somebody who just sits and just.
So you have to.
Free, like in your free time.
Yep. And your dad and me are besties. He's definitely also really passionate about his career. He's a chiropractor and he loves healing and he loves learning about it. So yeah, I think if you're just really specifically passionate, I would say you're passionate about creating and directing content. So you are watching content.
I'm always learning when I'm watching shit. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm more interested in like what, why? Why are we creating this? Like what is witchcraft? What is magic? What is the universe? Like how can I contribute here? So that's our evening ritual. I take a bath almost every night, a shallow one. I try not to waste too much water. But a hot bath for me with like aromatherapy bath salts really helps me to get any extra ideas. I always have my phone on the tub like next to me because I do come up with so many ideas when I'm in a bath. And so I do that almost every night if I'm lucky enough to have it. Mm-hmm. And then we go to bed pretty early.
Our next question. What do you do when you're feeling blocked creatively?
Ooh, blocked creatively.
What do we do when we're feeling blocked creatively?
What do you do when you fall in love?
You stop.
You got to stop, actually. When you're creating and you can't come up with anything, you've got to stop creating.
There's a few things I do. You go first.
Okay, well.
I'm excited.
Okay. I just dive into something else completely. So I'll learn how to, you know, sew a pair of pants or I'm a learner. So maybe I am blocked a lot creatively and I just go off and learn something new. And then I come back and I'm excited to write a song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good, that's definitely a super real technique. You have to just put it down and walk away from it. Do something else. We always, or me in particular, I always get up something's ass so bad.
Uranus.
Don't touch me.
It all comes back to Uranus.
Whole episode is going to be about it. Yes.
And then, it's good to put it down and walk away. And space is really good. Even just like physical space. If you need to get out of the zone that you're in, go to a fucking coffee shop, get a sandwich.
But what do you do specifically?
What I specifically do is sometimes that. Sometimes I do get out and get a coffee and a fucking sandwich or something where it's a different scenery.
You've gone to the beach alone before.
I've gone to the beach by myself before. Sometimes I need to just get out and physically change it up. Another thing I do is I stop trying. So when I go in to make music a lot, it's like it can be this really daunting. There's a lot of days I'll go in and start and it's just like, wow, there's fucking nothing here. This is awful. How did I ever get to this point? This is stop. So what I do a lot of times then is I'll just make something without trying for it to be good, maybe.
Yes.
Just fuck around.
Whole different approach.
Fuck around and find out.
They say shit is the best fertilizer.
Woo!
So lay it on, honey. Quote. Make something shitty because it's going to make something great.
Try to see how bad you can make something.
Yeah.
There's this really interesting, speaking of our
like a painter, for an example, a painter would paint like just the worst thing ever, right?
Just change it up.
Just get it out the way.
Just change it up.
Yeah.
Changing it up, I guess, for
nobody has to see.
Yeah, nobody has to see.
No.
Nobody has to see Uranus. Do whatever the changing it up is, either way, like whether it's physically or genre or good to bad, whatever you want to do. I think keeping it loose and keeping it, just walk away from it sometimes.
You got to keep it moving.
That's personally what I do. There's actually a bunch of things I do. A lot of times I'll also restrict my options. In today's world, especially for like sound libraries and all this stuff, like it becomes like this paralyzing thing of options. Like there's just too many. You just fucking like, you just freeze. It's like going on Netflix and now I don't know.
Have you ever been on Netflix and you're like, I don't know what to watch. Yeah. There's too many options. I don't even want to watch anything now.
That's what it feels like a lot of times when you start to make music.
We're in a world where there's so many options.
Creativity thrives.
For everything.
Yes. Creativity thrives in discipline or whatever you want to call it.
In restriction or what is the word? Shit.
What is the word? There's a good specific quote. Word.
Well, they call it the apathy of options. Like too many options makes you not want to do anything.
Yeah. So restrict it. Say like, okay, I have just this piano sound, this clap, this kick, whatever. And you know, just
the only thing that's important is to try to create every day if you can. Like if you're a painter, restrict yourself to only using purple. Just get it out the way.
See what happens.
Just give yourself exercises. You're almost like in a little room with yourself, just challenging yourself all the time creatively. That's why I think people get stuck because they're like, oh no, but I'm not creating something great. It's like, that's okay. That's not normal to do great things all the time.
You don't know so many times, you don't know what is great or what's going to hit in the public, even if it's not quote unquote great. You don't know what's going to. Did he just realize he was super hot?
Gary always takes a nap next to me in this chair and it's like
he just wakes up and he's like, oh, there's I'm like, covered in fur.
We have a couple of lights up just to help make it the visual good, and he just gets really warm. So there he woke up. He's good.
I could probably go off on this for a very long time, but that's the couple of things that I do. I'll think of more as we go because I get into this. I get into really also like YouTube. There are so many the entire world, the entire catalog of videos and shit is available for you to go on and be inspired by something.
Yeah.
Here's kind of a branch off of that question, though. So is there, when you realize you're blocked, is there a specific thing you go to, or do you just kind of listen to what, because you said you go to the beach alone sometimes. Do you go, well, I'm blocked, I need to get to the beach? Or is it?
Dude, no, but that's a good point. Even just like for like anything, the biggest obstacle is recognizing that you're blocked.
Right, for sure.
Because
we forgot to mention the first step, which is to be like, ah, fuck. There she is again. Resistance, right? There she is. You're looking her in the face. You're like, you dumb bitch. And you have to have that moment of like, oh, God damn it. But guess what? Like the people walking around outside, like the front door security guy, like they don't give a fuck that you're creatively blocked. Go have a conversation with them. Ask them what they're doing with their life.
Yeah, go annoy the
go annoy somebody.
Poor soul trying to fucking chill. No,
or go get some Shake Shack burgers and like talk to be really nice. Pay for the person behind you. All of a sudden, your whole momentum changes.
Listen, go get some pizza.
This is a creative podcast. This is what we do here. We love these questions.
Put some pizza and wine in a NutriBullet.
By the way, if you have any further questions off of these answers and questions, let's go. I want to see those comments on YouTube. I want to see the Twitters. I want to see the Facebooks.
So our next question is actually kind of a piggyback off of that a little bit. What is your favorite part of the creative process when it comes to making music?
Ooh.
Oh, I think this is probably the same answer for both of us.
Let's see. Let's see about that, sir.
It's the initial birth of the idea is our favorite. It's the discovery for it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we really do this, I think we talk about this a lot and try to figure out exactly what it is because it changes a little bit. But really the reason we do this is because it's the discovery of it.
Yes. And I think for me, more specifically, when we get to the point where the song has been discovered and you can hear what it is.
Yes. That's my
favorite. And then you start adding like the background vocals. That's my favorite.
Oh, nice.
For me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm sure that's different for you.
It is. So right after we have a track and we're forming the melodies or like kind of just like getting a rough skeleton of it, and we kind of know if it's going to work or not.
Yes.
There's usually at this point, not a concept. It's just gibberish. I think we played some of these demos before.
Yeah.
That point, like when it gets kind of the quote unquote demo point is my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wait, let's talk about this. So you kind of mentioned this on a previous episode, but let's just say use Sugar Daddy as an example. So did you made a track that came to you, Amy, and you had a concept for Sugar Daddy, or you went, or did that just happen when you were listening to that? You were taught like singing gibberish and boom, the Sugar Daddy concept came to life.
Oh no.
On two different days. On separate days.
It was completely separate from each other.
So yeah. We start with just usually, and sometimes it changes because we like to change up how we
write. We should play the Sugar Daddy demo for them too.
Oh, I have it somewhere.
Because we can definitely.
That would be dope.
See, this is fun because we could eventually write a book about this. Like the process of different songs and how.
Lots of typos.
You can really map. This is what I love to do. I love to also map. Today, all day, I was writing a map of how I transform. Every era of my artistry in my life so far, I've enjoyed this process of transformation, which is very uncomfortable. Astrology is really appealing to me because it's now showing me another like scientific angle on how, why this is happening at certain times in my life and certain things. But the process of this is, it is kind of a long process. Sometimes it happens quick, sometimes it's slower, but we do have different points that we prefer. And for me, it's like once I have sat with the demo for the demo of Sugar Daddy was like, he loved me. Hey, somebody told me love me. It really only had he loved me.
He loved me.
All it had was he loved me. So it's like whispers. You have these whispers of what it's supposed to be. And this is another reason, my creative, beautiful artists, this is another reason you can't rush it. If you're blocked, you got to go take a walk, because there's been songs that I've wrote where I was like, I just need to finish it. And it ends up not being what I want. So now I don't rush myself at all, which
is terrifying. And there are song ideas that
terrifying.
We still have. We have a whole catalog of like what I would think of as like hits.
Yes.
Or songs that could potentially do really well. Right?
They're all waiting for. They're all waiting for me to sit and write the lyrics.
Yeah. Or you're just waiting for the specific angle on it that's going to make sense.
Yep.
Or whatever. You know what I mean? And sometimes you do. Like, it's been years. Sugar Daddy happened pretty quick. And another interesting thing about Sugar Daddy too is we had it done. COVID hit, and
then everything
kind of, I think everything got pushed back because it was, what happened? Oh yeah, we pushed it back like a month or two because we were like, no one is going to be listening for music right now, ourselves included.
This
is a little serious.
It was so stressful. See, but every day is stressful anyway. Like, you just need to, we need your art. We need your art. Fuck everything.
No, but, like, but the just point go. Is, the point is, we the song was done, and then we, you said, "Well, look, dude, we're just fucking sitting here. Let's try to like, is there anything we can improve on the songs?"
Right.
So you had the balls to like go back and check it out, and so that's how we added the intro.
Right.
That's how the intro came, because like we were just fucking around one night. I had too much scotch or something, and all these dark organ minor progressions, and you were like, "That's it," and you're like, "Da da 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 da." In the three part and the whole thing. That came pretty easily afterwards, but that was only because of the COVID delay.
What do they say? Somebody quoted like great, like a master, like art is never finished. You just decide.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. You can overwork it too. There's been times when I was like, ooh, I feel this is all intuition, which is another episode that we did. We can talk more about it, but intuition tells you too, when you've overworked it, overpainted, overprocessed, overdeveloped an idea. And sometimes you go back to an old demo and you just go rock with that shit.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is experience too.
Yeah.
I think experience, it's intuition for you. And for me, it's experience. You just,
you can't make the wrong choice, because your sugar daddy right now, you overworking your first hit is going to lead to your next hit.
No, well, that's true.
Kind of what she's saying too. It's like, you didn't know Sugar Daddy was going to blow off.
Nope.
Go off like that.
Nope.
Like what, how could you have ever predicted something like that?
No,
the least expensive music video ever made.
Oh my God, the least expensive. And so like the least video. Amount of people. It was literally the three of us. Alex, Nick, me made Sugar Daddy in like two, like what? We split it up in 2 days because
like
we were
days,
like, I don't know, it's a pandemic. Let's
you
let's
wanna come over.
I was like, I want to make real cookies on this pink baking sheet.
Yeah. And the timing was perfect. So we had just finished the loft. So and there wasn't any stuff in it yet. So it was just this beautiful open space.
True. So no, this is about being in your flow state. Yo, we need to
take
do an episode
of the
flow
shit
state.
That you got going on. Flow state.
Allow. Look at your life like a movie and just let it unfold and just come in and be like ting, 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 ting. Make your little adjustments.
What are those? What are the ting, tings?
Ting, ting.
Are those cheery things?
It's like I have a magic wand and I'm like, I'm like the little fairies in the Sleeping Beauty movie.
Oh, maybe it's also like a train is coming.
Ching, ching. Cool.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Get off the tracks.
So this next question is a little lighter. This is fun. In your past life as Carmen, where was one of your favorite places that you performed?
OMG.
Oh.
Past life as Carmen. Really, Carmen was not a past life. It was just us paying our karmic dues from past lives. That's what it was. We need to go see like a past life regression hypnotist. Yes. To see why things happen that way. Because that was so interesting. But I think our favorite places to perform, one that I always stands out to me, is San Francisco Pride, because San Francisco Pride was like 100,000 plus people.
Yeah,
I've never performed in front of that many people before.
It was something like that. It was pretty insane.
Can I say something too interesting? When you're in front of 100,000 people, it actually feels much less daunting than like 20 people.
Always. Always.
Isn't that so weird?
Absolutely. Yeah. When there's like fucking 10 people in the audience, it's like,
oh man, if I fuck up, this is going to be bad.
And then when it's like 50,000, it's like, okay.
I think for me also, was it Lincoln or Omaha, Nebraska? A Nebraska show that we had during the Pulses tour was so special.
I remember that one.
My whole family came and it was magical.
I remember the prides being amazing.
Yeah.
I remember every time we went through like Florida in the South.
Oh yeah, the South, Atlanta also.
It was always really, really fun.
So much fun.
And then...
was it Kentucky that was kind of lit too?
I think it was Louisville Pride.
What's going on?
And also, Boston was also really great
always
too.
Boston is great.
Yeah. I think the only place we found the crowds to be tough was the Pacific Northwest.
Wait, where is that again? I'm bad at maps.
It's up of us.
Oh.
So like us,
Washington.
But up. Like Washington, Portland, Oregon, kind
there's
of
there's definitely
like
a different vibe like Nashville and New Orleans, because they're two cities where you get live music so frequently.
Yeah,
but I felt in my element because I was like, these bitches are not impressed. We need to come out here and give them a good vibe.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that really trumps like great music and great like famous people coming through is like, if you can give them a good vibe, which I got all that experience from being a wedding singer.
Oh yeah.
No, I know how to set the vibe.
So like the Portland shows and stuff, they were just kind of like,
really?
Just kind of like, this is what I remember. They would just kind of like stare at you.
Okay.
But afterwards, a lot of them would be like, best energy I've ever seen.
I know.
Or whatever. It was something very, like very, very, they were like, I loved it.
Totally.
But at the time, we always like, dude, well then how... Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like performing for a fucking mannequin.
No, every show was special and every night was special. I don't have any unfavorite locations. They were all different vibrations. Of course they are. You have some. This is why I am now Queen Herbie.
And LA shows. LA shows are notoriously awful too. But ours were lit.
Ours were
pretty lit for the most part.
We had so much fun.
I just feel like Queen Herbie's show in Los Angeles was incredible.
I've had like two and a half shows as Queen Herbie in my whole career, and they've been in LA and they were wonderful. Yeah.
That show was really fun because we had no idea what to expect. It was
Let me tell you something.
Hey kids, come on.
What you need
around.
To do is you need to only appear in places and at times that you feel like appearing. It's when you're overextending yourself and like trying to blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, let's just make a vibe. Let's have it be valuable. That's my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. I love like the smaller intimate shows personally. I know someday like I may need to do bigger shows, but I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Did Black Sheep bring you closer to your family? Was that your intention behind releasing that song?
Oh man, Black Sheep did not bring me closer to my family. It was not my intention for writing that song. I was in a place on the Woman album?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where I was like, I need to just reveal myself, right? This is right after EP 9, which we did 9 EPs where I was like, EP 1 was like, hey, it's me, Queen Herbie. And people were like, what the fuck is this? And then by EP 3, I was like, oh, but we have bops. And then by EP 6, it was like, oh, what the fuck is happening? And then EP 8 was like, oh, we have hits though. But then it was like EP 9, I was like, who the fuck is this brand new looking bitch I see? It was like, oh shit, now she, what's happening? We're in a pandemic. So the Woman album, I was like, look, if we all die tomorrow from COVID, I need to reveal my entire soul on this album. And it didn't matter to me. I was like, I know if I write this, it's going to help to heal me. Black Sheep actually was like a demo for a long time that was like...
It's an example of what we had
like,
for a few years.
We had just the hook though. It was like, I may never come around. I was like, what does this mean? Like, I may come around. Like, huh? And I was like, oh... And there was this yucky feeling of like, oh, yeah, those people that are really important to me that don't accept me for who I am or don't agree with my lifestyle or don't necessarily like vocally support me. Right. And that was really challenging. And I was like, damn, let me just get this out because it's very authentic. It's very honest, which so was Naughty Girl, which so was Juice, which so like the whole album, I was just like, let me just get all my feelings out so that I'm out on the table. And even when we shot the album cover, which was on this blue couch, if you're watching on YouTube, Nick's sitting on it. And we put together this whole, I was like, shit, I'm a world build. We are world builders. The three of us really did all of that shit. And it was like, damn. I really am grateful for the response of that song because so many people, I was surprised how many other people felt the same way that I did about their parents. It's just this huge gap. Okay. I think about Abraham Hicks and all these spiritual woo-woo people that I love. They're telling us our generation is the transition crew. It's going to be difficult. Okay. Our parents had to do so much other shit that we, I mean, they paved the way for us, but they also don't understand us. The wave of like cultural development is like, it's about to be straight up. Like if you're on YouTube, you can see that I'm showing you like this curve. What is it called? A bell curve? Mm-hmm. Yo, it was like this for the longest time, for like all through the 1920s, it was flat 30s, 40s, 50s. It started to get kind of weird in the 60s. And now we're in the 2020s, bitch. This shit is about to go straight up for technology, for evolution, for personal, for the acceptance of people, for who they want to be. And like our parents are just like, yo, I mean, look at their parents, right? If you're lucky enough to have living grandparents, they don't even know how to use FaceTime. You know, we joke about this all the time, but like it's we're on the bell curve right now where it's like really fucking awkward. Every couple years that goes by, we just might not relate to each other. So Black Sheep, the song, really helped me to come to terms with, hey, they're not going to understand this, and that's okay. All I can do is be loving towards them and patient and be ready for some awkwardness. And just remember that you are the new. You're the new generation that is meant to transition these folks into the new world. They are going to eventually pass on, you know, and as we believe here in this in the House of Herbie, come back as a new, they're going to come back as a new something. So it's going to be fine. But it is heartbreaking to deal with parents that don't understand you or accept you. And I love that we're not alone in that. They're doing their best, though. Your parents are doing their best, no matter how difficult it seems. They're doing their best.
If someone were to get a line of your lyrics as a tattoo, which line would you choose?
OMG.
I'm curious what you both would choose.
Do you have a tattoo?
Do you have a tattoo?
I don't think you guys have it. Neither of you have tattoos,
right?
We have
zero tattoos. Alex has like, oh, how many?
Like 19 now.
Yeah.
Do you really have 19? Get out. Get out. Only 10 or less.
I remember when you got your first tattoo. Yeah. Oh, a baby. A grown up.
Do you really remember? When did you get your first tattoo?
Yeah, the butterflies.
No, the butterflies were it was this little guy.
Oh, really?
But then it all happened in the same year.
Yes.
Because once it, that's true. Right here. You get addicted to it.
As soon as it starts, it's fucking so space good. Tats.
Be careful. Be careful.
Careful. I'm going to fucking tap some glasses.
What the two of you will say. Okay. I love that this was a question because I actually have an answer.
That's a really good. But oh, I want to hear your answer.
No, I want to hear what you would think first.
Okay. So
nothing thrills me more than when I see people on Instagram posting like Queen Herbie tattoos. It gets me so hyped.
There's kind of like a good amount of
there are
up there.
Yes.
I'm like, shit, dude.
But if you were like bars.
Okay, it has to be words. It can't just be pictures of my face.
Because your face is great.
I'm conceited.
No, but that's great. But if it was
some
bars.
Some people get pictures of my face tattooed. That's so tight.
That's pretty incredible.
Wow, what an honor.
I would probably be that Gucci Prada Comfy, my sugar. No, I'm just kidding. I would probably be, what would
Gucci
be?
Prada Comfy is a cool tattoo.
That's
Gucci
Prada cute. Comfy.
That's a merch line that we're definitely going to get sued for.
Okay.
Let's start it.
See what happens.
I'm gonna need a minute.
It's a lot of songs.
Well,
it's a lot of songs.
Let me just tell you about the most recent one. See, I wish I could tag this person because the tattoo artists will often tag me, but the person getting the tattoo doesn't always tag me. I'm like, excuse me. I want to
whose body is my face on?
I want to worship you. They got a warning. We are no longer accepting negative energies in this space. So it's a quote from Chakras.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. Yeah.
I'll tell you mine.
Okay, let's go.
Please.
Because like I've been considering getting this tattoo.
Yes.
Because like
I'm gonna pay for it.
I'll scream.
My favorite song by Queen Herbie is "Mission." Well, till the day
yes!
I die.
Yes,
you love that one.
And so I want to get a tattoo that says "Roots before fruit."
Oh, that's really dope. I'm
you gotta get
that.
The roots before you get the fruit.
You gotta get the roots before you get the fruit.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it because I don't know what I would get that would still make sense to me or I'd still be excited about.
We've never even considered it. We are talking to two untattooed people. This is so boring.
Yeah, I would probably get either.
Actually,
like
we would love to hear in the comments some suggestions.
Okay. I feel like if I did start getting tattoos, I would probably. Apparently, this is always how it goes. You just get like a ton afterwards.
Yeah.
But if I were to get one, I would get the word adapt.
Yeah.
And probably put it somewhere either like on my wrist or something where I could see it every day.
It's like reminders is
just
what
just reminders.
Is.
Yeah, yeah. Just to be like, no, you're just chill. Just chill. Just adapt. You'll be all right.
That's cool.
Shit, I wish I had an answer. I would just get a tattoo of my own fucking face.
Just too many bars.
Too many bars.
Well, there's a bunch of really good. That's, there are. Yeah, I'm unprepared.
I get one that just says too many fish in the sea to miss one. I'm here to crash Hello. Your party. I
Don't
only
they
get,
know that I came from Nebraska?
I only get Carmen lyrics that I didn't write.
Our guitarist, Zach Bowman, when we did the Carmen stuff, we did all that so much fucking radio promo with yeah. this dude. Great guy. One of our favorite people.
Love
but
him.
He would always, he'd be like, don't you know that I came from Nebraska? Because he'd just play like, hello, like
don't
over
you know that
and
I
over.
Came from Nebraska?
Don't you know that I yeah. came from Nebraska?
So that's your answer. I would just get Carmen lyrics. Just to fuck with y'all. No, if I do start getting tattoos, it probably won't be words because it feels like, as a wordsmith myself, it feels like too much pressure. I love y'all for getting them and finding meaning in those, but I'm like hummingbirds, poodles, rainbows. Like, I would just get things.
Next question. How do you fully become aware of your trauma?
Fuck.
Becoming aware of your trauma is so hard because the last thing you want to do is be like, I was traumatized. I'm a victim. Like, really, we don't want to be, right? And mm-hmm. then we find out, oh, wait, being a victim is cool because people feel bad for me. So then we lean into it.
Yeah.
So there's this
then
whole
you get the attention
sludgy
from it.
Middle ground where yeah. you're like, I'm just going to be a victim now and let people feel bad for me and complain all the time. But you don't want to get stuck there.
Yeah.
So that's why it is so hard, because just acknowledging you've been traumatized or you've been hurt is like a pathway to all these other potholes that you don't want to stay in. You just want to get you're like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to be here at all. So how do you recognize it? Okay. For me, I recognized that I had been traumatized because I was unhappy a lot. I was like, why is depression and anxiety like hanging over me? I have the best life ever. Mm-hmm. Where was I told that I wasn't enough? Where was I told that I was not good enough? Where was I told that I couldn't do things I wanted to do? Where was I discouraged? And you start uncovering it.
Yeah. Because it's a tricky question, because I feel like you are constantly trying to avoid it and avoid facing it, I guess.
Like men don't cry, right? Like men are not
men
allowed to
don't
cry.
Cry.
They're not allowed to cry. And no. So it's like, well, okay, there's something there. If you're not emotional and you can't cry, like there might be something there. So it's like you're finding these little breadcrumbs of evidence that you've been traumatized in some way. Like for me, it was depression. I had never felt that before. I was like, oh, I'm just hopelessly sad for long periods of time when my evidence around me is like, no, your life's amazing. And so I was like, shit, I need to like do some work and digging and shadow work and figure out like where this happened, because it is very sneaky.
It's weird. It's hard to.
Where did the world tell me I wasn't good enough to be an independent artist?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of
who told me that I wasn't allowed to like be my crazy wild self?
It's having the courage to be honest with yourself, I think is the biggest thing that's so difficult for anything really, but especially for having to like be okay. And women will definitely be better with this for sure. Mm-hmm. Women are more intuitive. Women are more able to cry and release and like move on.
Because once you realize that a woman can be like compassionate toward herself, like, it's okay, babe, I love you. It's okay. Like, you're not, you know, this is not your fault. Mm-hmm. And then you can cry and you can process it. I feel like men are like, this is a fight response.
Yeah. Then we have to be in charge. We have to be, right. You yep. know what I mean? Like fucking, non-emotional.
I am reading this really good book about this right now, just because we're here in a safe space where we share ideas with each other. It's called Complex PTSD. And I believe it's by Pete Walker. I'll get a link for you, but it's really fascinating because you start to learn like how this all happens to you in childhood, how your parents and your family life, and this is nobody's fault. Nobody meant to do this to you, right? It's just the dynamic of being alive on earth. And like some people are like physically abusive and it's off fucking awful. But he actually says emotional abuse is like just as bad. If not worse and more complex because it's so hard to like figure out. I could see
it being more complex.
How to figure, if somebody hits you physically, you're like, oh, I've been hit. I have like a wound.
Yeah. Fuck you.
And you're like, bad. This happened. Right. But the gaslighting and the emotional abuse is so complex.
Yeah. That makes you feel insane.
The PTSD is really fascinating to learn about. And again, I'm a learner, so you can really dissect these things. If you can stay positive through it and just educate yourself, it's not as difficult. But I notice it in like being married to a man too. It is like, man, the patriarchy is a bitch.
You talk a lot about soup. If you were to create a soup company, what would be the first soup that you would create?
OMG. Oh, it's a soup question.
No, you're Sufio.
This was not in my map of my future that I was working on today in my office. I love soup. We love soup. Soup harbors so many nutrients and can be so...
Don't sell soup.
Soup is...
What? Why do you like soup? Because it's... What happened?
Well, when I was going through
trauma,
I realized that when you're going through traumatizing things, you aren't hungry and you feel unsafe, right? You want to curl up in a blanket. This is probably why I wear sweatpants all the time because I've just been healing my whole life from being traumatized. Being alive is traumatizing, y'all, okay? No matter what you've been through, you've probably been traumatized. We have an episode on this. But soup to me is so healing because it's gentle on the gut. It's gentle on the body and it can be delicious and it's hot. It's like a warm blanket for your innards. And I just think it's wonderful. So what flavor would we do first?
What? Why are you putting me on the spot for this?
Don't you love soup?
I've definitely...
Don't you love soup?
You do, don't you, Nick? I would fucking say some fucking chicken noodle fucking soup.
Okay.
Definitely F's me in the A.
We're going to call it the Uranus chicken noodle soup. Okay. That would be the first thing we would make because obviously that's like the most generic, not meaning bad generic, but like the generally people would want to try that. And we would make it unique though.
Yeah. I feel like that's like the bottom barrel.
The noodles would be shaped like astrological planets. And
yep.
It would definitely.
Oh my God. Is that the Taurus soup?
It would probably be vegan.
Would be vegan?
Vegan okay. Chicken broth. Yes. We'd have to figure that out. There's a lot of, thank you for that question. There's a lot that we have to sort out.
Yeah, there's a lot.
On the soup
what
front.
Also is really good? God,
my favorite is like butternut squash.
Oh, you love a butternut squash?
I love a butternut squash. My friend Rosanna taught me the other day how to make a butternut squash soup, and it was really delicious.
There are some tasty soups That's out there. I also am quite partial.
Can y'all imagine if you're like, yeah, listen to House of Herbie podcast, and I go to my grocery store locally, and there is now soup, and it's all of our faults.
I'm also quite partial to a... French onion soup.
Oh, French onion.
And
that's never in a can. That's never in a grocery store.
No, you got to like really, yeah.
So you got to tell us in the comments, are we doing this in the, now this is happening? Is it going to the grocery stores like on a mass scale or is this something where we open locations where, right, we'd have to like ship formulas around. And
ship
people,
and soup.
Ship and soup. It would definitely have gluten-free bread, but we wouldn't even have to advertise that it was gluten-free because it would taste so delicious. And you'd be like, why am I not inflamed after? We would just not advertise it. And be like, did you hear it's gluten-free?
Yeah.
When it comes to finding your purpose, what advice would you give to someone who feels like their purpose is out of reach?
I live
in a small town and know that I'm meant for the city life.
Yes. Mm.
But I can't seem to figure out the steps to get there.
First of all, listen to the Leo Rising album by Carmen, because that was where we really got in our bag, in our no suitcase. Okay, so this energy is crazy, right? So I grew up in a small town. You grew up in a small town.
7,000 people.
7,000 people, the same for me.
Still two Dunkin' Donuts, though.
So the... Wow, still.
Welcome to the East Coast.
Yeah, right? We had a couple coffee shops, but yeah. Coffee was not popular until after I left. Damn. Okay. So I need, what I need you to do, this is, you're the reason that we started this goddamn podcast, first
okay.
of all.
Yes. Okay. Lots. I have lots of thoughts. You go first.
You're the reason we started this goddamn podcast. So you know, thoughts. You're not alone now. You have a team of people around you. You have a community around you that is supporting you in this. The world is a much different place. I'm sure it's still scary as fuck to get out of your small town and pursue your passion.
And you probably just need a removal. You just need like a new energy in general. So for, we felt the same way. So I was like, I need to get to a city, right? So we ended up, we met in Boston. We were in Boston for a while.
Yep.
As opposed to like growing up in Maine and Nebraska.
We did have the privilege of growing up as white people. who, you know, like right. we would call like middle class white people, right? So right. I just want to speak on that for a second because not everybody has those opportunities financially. Like your parents couldn't help you with this.
Right.
My parents and your parents, I feel like, had a similar concept. They were like, we're going to pay for like one semester or something.
They said they were going to pay for however much it was to go to the state school.
Yes.
And then you have to pay for the remaining.
Which is still a privilege in itself.
Sure. But it was, you know, like a sixth.
I knew that the leap...
Berkeley.
The
we had leap, to get scholarship if we were going to go.
Right. And we both were on scholarship, which is right. also a privilege.
Well, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Because I mean, the college worked. Systems are not all designed for people that have unique talents. Like, people don't always get recognized and paid for.
Sure. But this is college. This is a different conversation. I think getting to...
First of all, we're going to say going to college is not a requirement to no. follow your passion anymore. This is new.
Especially not for music.
Especially not for music. I don't know. You're probably a creative person, I hope.
But I also feel like... times have changed now and cities have become so expensive. So don't go crazy on your, don't be super hard on yourself if it's not like an affordable thing. Because the people in LA can't afford to live in LA.
I would love to hear what it is that you're interested in pursuing your passion because
yes,
we are also internet people, as you know, and I think almost every creative career can be pursued on the internet. And I know that if you're in, you know, is this bad to say, bumfuck Iowa, like wherever you're from, I know that they have internet service available.
And yes. And
that would okay. be my top priority. Mm.
This is a one, I would probably have to.
Still
I would,
a privilege.
I would probably have to, we would probably have to like talk and we have to figure out who you are because the city, because we are still, the city is still important to us. And we have noticed the energy that bounces from a city. To create is very, very different, and it's a very, very different.
That being said, being thing. In LA is not necessary for us. We've had this conversation this year.
We have
year.
Also had this conversation. So this is why you're going to get two conflicting answers here.
Yeah.
Because I think it is important to be where everything is happening. At the same time, now is a time where like people are like, don't be where everything is happening. Go somewhere else. Why? You know, why do you have to be there type thing?
Yeah.
But... So build up a, sometimes you have to jump out of the nest and see if you can fly. And it's fucking terrifying. I would say build up, save up, you know, build up some money and make sure you can have, I don't know, probably a 12 to 18 month, supply.
People are ashamed to be living with their parents. I'm like, listen, I need you
well,
to have,
build up, get ready,
save up your money, like then, get a year, 18 months is the best.
And then just force yourself to do it. That's always, I feel like for all of everybody's stories, like the Brad Pitts and the whatever, they're like, I just got in my car. That's not what he talks about. I got in my car in Missouri and just drove out to Los Angeles. And you just hear of all the stories of everybody just crashed at their fucking buddy's house for years. Sometimes yep. John Hamm, George
people,
Clooney.
People crashed with us.
Yeah.
We just, yeah. we're like, yep. Let's go.
So it is a very much, I would say save up, plan for it.
Yep.
Maybe take like a little trip out here and try to figure out where you would be if you know anybody in the city.
And be on the internet now.
Get on the internet, find people who are there, maybe start talking to them, maybe try to get any kind of connection, local connections where when you land is what I would say.
And be ready to pivot. Like if you're a makeup artist like and you're doing weddings in your hometown, like be ready to do like... more weird shit. If you want to get into movies, like try to start doing really creative shit on your Instagram and try to connect with people that do what you love already. And this is a great podcast episode. This question is really good. We should do one of these.
Yeah.
But that's your short answer. And I'm so proud of you for asking it.
Yeah, you can do it. You absolutely can do it. And if for whatever reason it it's not in the cards. You also can still access everything from your internet connection. Maybe it's moving outside of your hometown to a neighboring town or whatever to change up the vibe. But yeah, this I would say the answer is both. Don't go into a major city and still have the access to everything when you know have the cheaper quality of the higher quality of life, or go to the city, save up, go to the city, plan, and be willing to do things that you weren't necessarily otherwise
planning to do,
expecting.
Yeah.
The fans want to know, will there be a tour?
Oh, the babies. I did like a little private show for Halloween this year and I was like, it's going to be whatever. It's fine. And I had so much fun and I love performing and I love it because y'all show up and sing the words with me and we have this community that we built. We're just so focused. We've been so focused since the pandemic on, well, before that it was like building Queen Herbie from zero. And then it was like pandemic can't do anything. And it feels like just now it's starting to get to the point where we could tour, where I could tour. And so thank you for everybody that asked this question, because how incredible would that be?
It would be pretty fun.
It'd be pretty fun. And you know, we have to make it really special. It can't just be some normal ass tour.
No, we have to have a stop at Uranus.
Let us know if you're getting VIP to Uranus.
Yeah.
VIP Uranus tour.
VIP Uranus tour. Oh no. Very important. Anyway, moving on.
No, I will need help with the set list.
So are you going on tour? Back to you, Bob.
That's where the episode ends.
Thank you for tuning in. So dramatic.
Seriously.
Yes, I would like to go on tour.
Does that mean you're going on tour?
Maybe. There's a lot of logistics.
But there, yeah.
There's a lot of logistics.
There were a lot of people who we knew that lost like a shitload of money the last year or so trying to go doing a tour, and it just got.
The point is, you're not against it.
Oh no,
you're not against it.
Not against it.
We'll see.
It's feeling more and more like the timing is right, which is
Alex,
hilarious.
Do you want to go on tour?
Thought you'd never ask.
Of course, I don't.
All right, Emily Carroll coming in this week with our AOK, which again is short for Act of Kindness. I love AOK. Emily says, taking soup to some folks who are quarantining with COVID. Act of kindness and soup? Heck yeah. I love that. Emily, you're the shit. And we love
right,
you for
Emily.
That.
Give See, me some fucking soup.
The only thing that would make it better is if it was like House of Herbie soup. But you know, next time. That's so sweet. If I was sick with COVID, I would definitely want somebody to check up on me. It's so creepy to be sick alone. It sucks.
Yeah, that just sucks.
So that meant a lot to them, I'm sure. Keep doing those good things for strangers. It's pretty magical when you see it happen in real life.
Well, look,
so you're also affecting the people that are observing you do it.
This is like somebody last week had like the truck driver who was like tailgating them and like harassing them and everything.
Yes,
and
then
she
that
literally
was
like, oh yeah, fuck you. I'm going to pay for your shit. Yeah. And then on the way home, he was like, okay, I'm sorry.
I love you.
Oh my God. You're really, so yeah, you
my
it
girlfriend?
Really does. It's the hardest thing you can do. It's the most
it's
gangster,
the
shit,
most
you
gangster shit you
can do.
The most gangster shit you
can
do.
Because then they're like, oh, I'm sorry. What else? What can I do for you? And you're like, yes. Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought.
This is what we're into. This is what gets us off. This is what House of Herbie exists. Because we want to create this momentum of positivity. I know it
well,
sounds
corny.
Just
keep corny. Them going. Just keep them going.
That's why we say we're going to make fun of you. Because we're like, okay, we don't want to get too positive. To
don't
where you don't
too,
trust
don't
us.
Don't get too serious about it.
Okay.
Keep it loose.
But we're fucking serious.
But seriously.
Yeah.
Literally trigger.
I want to thank everybody for submitting questions. I'm so happy that we could address some of these things. I would love to do more Q&A episodes.
That
this is
fun.
So fun. High five. Oops. Miss it every time. If you watch us on YouTube, you can see our beautiful faces and our really sad high fives that we do.
Yes.
And our poodles. But if you don't, we are so grateful for you for listening. And we will be back next week with some more adventures on House of Herbie.
Rate and review.
Oh,
and
yes. Rate
let
and review.
Us know
if you have 2 minutes.
Else, and let us know what else we, because we just want to just, we're just shooting the shit. So just let us know what else you want us to shoot the shit about.
Oh, yes. And the Facebook. So Alex is popping on the Facebook. But we were like, let's go. Let's get Alex on the Facebook. Let's go. Let's get this group going. And it's already a bunch of people on there.
Let's go.
We could sing you a three-part song if you want to hear it. But thank you for tuning in. I'm Queen Herbie. That's Jedi Nick. And that was Alex on the questions this week. We cannot wait to see you again next week. Have a beautiful one.